T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
No, I'm nothing unique. And yeah, we have a lot of talent on our roster, so a lot of talented players. And, we have a lot of players that other teams would want, depending on the return. And they have a lot of players that we want. So there's nothing unique about 2 years. Obviously, the number of control years left is a big factor in determining a player's value. And salaries are part of determining that value. And then, the rest is what happens on the field.
Middays on the Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Sahanav Sharma. You just heard the voice of Theo Epstein. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Ice Box. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Sahanav Sharma is on Twitter at Sahanav Sharma. He on the Cubs beat joins us in the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Here's an aura of seriousness that hangs over the Cubs right now. And as I mentioned as we were going to break before, Sahadev, I know Theo says he wishes he didn't use the word reckoning, but he's got it. And this is his reckoning. It's on him whether he likes it or not, is it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got the manager in place. He's made all the changes behind the scenes that he really wanted to make and has pushed forward with them. I think there's a little bit of he doesn't have the financial flexibility that he wants, of course. That's not all on him, the finances. Of course, he put them in a situation where they may be having to, trade players earlier than they want and things like that by spending on players who didn't pan out. But, yeah, this is on him, and this is a offseason which he needs to nail a lot of moves, and we've talked about that a lot, but it's coming to the point where we may see some of these moves be made, and it's going to be interesting to see what they can get for players that are very valuable on the field, but the way the market works and the way this game is right now, they may not get the type of haul in prospects that you'd expect.
Do you have a sense of what we should expect the budget to be? Like, is this 190? Is it 180? Is it 170?
I think it's a little bit above 200. I think it's a kind of if the estimates that we have that are kind of public that we have are accurate, it's around where they are right now. They have a little bit of flexibility from that, and that's why there's a lot of rumblings that they need to make moves to sign people, even if just like last year, to sign even the lowest level type reliever. They may need to make a move here and there to free up money. Of course, when you're freeing up money, it's not just about freeing up money. They have to make the right deal. You can't, if you're talking about Chris Bryant, you can't just give him away just to free up that, whatever the estimated $18 million it's supposed to be from arbitration. You can't just give Chris Bryant away. That's your best, that's one of your best talents. So you have to find the right move, and you have to find a way to work around the budget that you've been given. And like I said, every move has to be nailed. So you have to, if you're trading a guy, you have to nail that move. And then every bit of money that you spend from the savings of that guy has to be spent properly.
Is it unquestioned that Javier Baez is going to be re-signed? Or is it possible that we could all be absolutely shocked by Baez being the guy on whom they would sell high in the trade market, maybe taking advantage of where his arrow is pointed at the moment? We don't know how that syncs up with their actual scouting report internally.
Yeah, I'll never say never anymore. There's been enough things that have happened even over the recent past, from Schwarber coming back in the World Series to them trading for Quintana, that things that even Theo Epstein and the front office thought were just not going to happen because of various circumstances that ended up happening. Yes, the feeling is that Javi will extend. If somehow they hit a snag, they just not even close in the same area, and that's the move they have to make, I guess it's really hard to trade a shortstop of his ability. How do you replace that? I keep going back to the fact that years ago people had said the Cubs have too many shortstops. Right now they have one. They have one shortstop. There's no such thing as too many shortstops. You need that guy as the, you know, kind of the building block to work around, to build around, to keep this team competitive. I'd be surprised if he's the guy that's moved. But like I said, things have happened that none of us really expected to happen. So I'm not ruling anything out. But that's right now of the – man, it's either him or Rizzo. Who would you be more shocked that they moved in that core group? For me, I almost lean Javi.
Yeah, I would, because I don't know who's trading for a first baseman.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's just that those guys, we can say what you want about, I mean, and I'm not denying that Rizzo is, I just think Rizzo's value to the Cubs is so much greater than it is to any other team objectively.
Yeah, it's really hard to get that proper value. I mean, obviously you'd get a ton of value for Javi, but just, like I said, defensively at shortstop, almost impossible to replace. The value that he brings on the field, running the bases, the energy that he brings. And then there's a lot of intangibles that Rizzo brings, and they're kind of leaning on him to kind of expand on those intangibles, right? I mean, Theo straight up said it after the season that they're going to kind of challenge him to do more, and he's up for that challenge. So I'd be shocked if either of those guys are moved, but there really isn't when Theo says there's no untouchables, he really means it. This is an off season where he's going to listen to everything that comes his way, and if there's that GM that's like him and willing to push all in to get that piece that he really needs, that he believes is a missing piece for his club, then Theo will have to jump on it.
Is there something within the free agent marketplace, or really trade marketplace, I guess, but you know, since we're in that kind of that part of the calendar, that's holding the Cubs back from starting this process? Do they need to wait for, I don't know, Garrett Cole to sign somewhere, or are they just finding it difficult to find the space to make the moves they need?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. They need to. The third base market is big, obviously. Where Donaldson and Rendon end up is really going to lead to what KB's market is. Is there a team remaining that needs a third baseman that really, really wants to upgrade that spot or really wants to make a splash? There's a lot of talk that LA wants to do something big, kind of shake things up. Maybe it's not that, you know, logically it may not make a ton of sense, right? Because they've won a ton of games over the years, but just when you haven't gotten, you know, that main goal, achieve that main goal, you get a little desperate and you want to switch things up. And there's a potential for that in LA. If they don't get Donaldson or Rendon and say they spend big on one of the starters, they may push even further in and try and get a guy like Bryant. That's a team that intrigues me. The Braves intrigue me. Even the Nationals, if they can end up in a scenario where those three teams don't have Donaldson or Rendon and they're both signed, I think that would be one of the better case scenarios for them to market Bryant. Of course, I think fans would say, why would you even trade Bryant? And I think that comes back to what we started with. They're not in an ideal situation. And you're going to, we kind of have to work under those parameters. It's never the best case scenario where you're trading Chris Bryant, but you have to work in a scenario that they're currently in.
Let me give you a list of names here and tell me off the top of your head what they have in common in no particular order. Addison Russell, David Bode, Daniel Descalso, Robel Garcia, Nico Horner, Ian Happ, Ben Zobrist, and probably more. All part of the issue at second base that's never resolved itself. I mean, going back to what they had to do with Daniel Murphy, this team has got to figure out who the second baseman is. Did I mention Robel Garcia?
Yeah, he did.
Is Nico Horner the guy? Does he have to go back into the minors for more seasoning, or is this actually going to be a spring training positional battle?
I think it's possible at both second base and center field that at the beginning of the season, there's a stopgap there. A competent stopgap that nobody is just, you know, completely dismayed that this person is starting on a team that should be, you know, in the playoff hunt. I think it's possible that there's two guys there that at the beginning of the year aren't the long-term answer, but they're capable of filling that hole.
Who aren't here now? You're saying guys whose names are talking about free agents or trade possibility?
Yeah, a veteran or, with center field, there's various options where it all depends on how the trade market shakes out, right? If you get that future center fielder or second baseman, then you can sign a stopgap. Or if you just feel like this is a guy that'll hold us through for a year or two and we have the long-term solution over there, or if we have a plan to get the long-term solution, whatever it is, or you don't have a plan and you just hope you get one eventually, I don't think it's out of the question that both those spots are filled by players that we don't really know yet. I think eventually Nico's the second baseman. If it's April, if it's whatever opening day is and he's there, that makes sense too. But there's a possibility that you see two stopgaps there. They have the long-term answers by a trade for center field, and Nico's there for second, and you feel good about it. But I don't think second they're going into this. They're definitely not going into these trades saying we have to fill this spot. We have to fill second base. Center field is a must. Starting pitchers are a must. Are those three probably at the top of their wish list? Sure, relief, help, all those things. We know what their holes are. I think they're doing what they did when they traded Jeff Samardzija. Get the best package possible. Mm. Don't look at your needs and say we have to target this prospect. Sure, there are prospects that you're going to love, but that may not be a second baseman or a center fielder or a starting pitcher. If there's a stud, power hitter, corner outfielder or something, maybe that's the guy that you go after if he's a, if they're willing to part with him. I don't think they're not going to focus on position. They want value. They're looking for the best possible package, and they'll kind of sort it out afterwards, and things will kind of fall into place like they usually do when you get the best possible package. You need to identify that, and it all comes back to the beginning where Theo needs to nail this offseason. You can't trade any of these guys and screw up. That's really not going to be acceptable.
Knowing that the trades come first, talk with Sahad of Sharma, he covers the Cubs. Knowing that the trades do come first, have you heard much noise about the Cubs potentially going international to solve any of their issues? I know Shogo Akiyama of the Lions in Japan is kind of an intriguing option for some teams in center field.
Yeah, Shogo is definitely an option for them. Whatever the price point is there, he makes a lot of sense. I talked to some scouts who's watched him play. He can definitely handle center for the foreseeable future. It's not going to be an issue. It's not like he's slowing down and the defense is deteriorating to a point where he can't handle center. I think that's the biggest thing that I was wondering. Can this guy really handle center? Is he an everyday center fielder defensively? And it sounds like the skill set is still there that he can handle it, and it's exactly the type of bat. He may not be perfect for the big leagues, but it's the type of bat that they're looking for, a contact guy that can spray the ball all over the field. He's not going to hit for much power if he comes here, but there's definitely some upside there with the average and the contact ability, something that the Cubs obviously lack that we've been talking about for years.
Yeah. The bullpen reconstruction is already on. What do we know? What are we learning so far? If they bring in Winkler and the surprise that Morrow is even on the radar screen, it looks like that they're going to, again, this looks like value shopping.
Yep, that's what this is. It's going to be, I think that's once again a point that fans are going to be frustrated by the way they go about building the bullpen again. I think there's a possibility that some of these trades land more solid arms. If they free up money, maybe that's a direction they can spend. But again, the free agent market just isn't that good for relievers. There's not very many relievers left that you point to and say, yep, that's an impact reliever, or that's a guy that's going to change the look of our bullpen. So they almost have to go for these undervalued guys, see what they can get. Maybe they find the next Drew Pomerantz or something like that. They've done it before. You can point to their mistakes, but last year, a lot of their bullpen, the best parts of their bullpen were the guys that they found diamonds in the rough type guys like Rowan Wick, Brad Wick, who really impressed at the end of the season, and Kyle Ryan. Those guys were all key parts of the bullpen, and they were on nobody's radar, in March.
Speaking of pitching though, Darvish, Lester, Hendricks, Quintana, Mills, Chatwood, Alzolay are the group. And that sounds very middle of the NL to me.
I agree. I think there you can look at that starting rotation, and it can go, you know, two different directions. You feel kind of good about Hendricks. I'm in the camp where I feel really good about Darvish. I think he figured something out,
same.
And that wasn't just a half season. That was something that he worked together with everyone, and then they really unlocked his full potential. So you have two guys you can rely on, and you want to say you can rely on John Lester, but I think we all know that he's getting up there in age, and it's just not the same. You don't know what you'll get start to start. He'll gut through a start. He'll give you six innings, three runs, and it should have been someone else would have been two innings, four or five runs, right? But he can gut through those. I just don't know what he's going to be. Quintana, 4 years ago he was a rock, right? You knew exactly what you were going to get. I don't think you can say that anymore. I don't think they know exactly what they're going to get. And then, it's just depth after that. Chatwood, Mills, you mentioned them all. So it's a middle of right now. There's a lot of question marks. It's something that has to be addressed. And it's something that Theo said there that look into. That's one of the areas where if they're going to pick up a solid free agent, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a 1 or 2 year deal of someone that maybe is coming off a bad year, looking to bounce back, whatever it is. Those guys make sense for the Cubs right now. It's a deeper market than it usually is for starting pitching. It's usually the other way around. Relief pitching is more deep. Starting pitching, there's the high-end guys, and there's nothing after that. It's a little different this offseason. So if they can, if they manage to free up the money and the budget isn't restricting them, I expect them to add a starter at free agency at some point. It's just depends how the market moves and how they when they're able to make these trades.
Sahadev Sharma, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
As always, lucid and full of information.
Yeah, if a little dark about things.
Yeah.
It's
hard to be really optimistic.
Point to the places you feel confident on that Cubs roster. There aren't a lot of them. And unfortunately, the ones you do point to and feel confident in
might be on the move.
Third base, shortstop, catching if you're into Wilson Contreras.
First base.
Those guys are the guys teams call about.
I've got a list for you here, and I want you to
know I love a good list.
To put this in mind, because we are nearing the conclusion of a decade. We did the all-decade movies. You did some of the all-decade television programs.
Right.
Mark Grody, when I wasn't here. Well, Joe Sheehan has put together his MLB all-decade team.
Okay.
He's got one player at each position. He's got a starting staff of five. Got two relievers on there. And that's it. No AL, NL, just MLB, the players of the decade.
Honorable mentions or just straight up one through?
There is a runner-up.
Oh, good.
There's runner-up pitching staff. There's runner-up everything. But I will tell you, there are two players who have played for the Cubs. Who either play for the Cubs or have played for the Cubs.
And obviously, Paulie Konerko at first base, right?
Who are on the all-decade team. And I ask you, who are they?
Ooh.
Who are these Cubs? There obviously are no White Sox. I'm wrong. There are two players on. There's one starter and there's one runner-up that have been at one point on the White Sox.
Okay. Yeah. This is good. The all-decade team and apparently a couple of erstwhile White Sox and Cubs.
I didn't say that.
Fair enough.
I didn't say necessarily erstwhile.
Fair enough. Well, I'll take that one back, and we'll think about the list when we come back. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
You notice this list, huh? I'm always making lists.
I teased a list, and boy, the texters, does anybody watch baseball outside of their own team?
I don't know. It's a provincial sport. I get that.
It must be. Judging from the texters, it must be a provincial sport. So, I know we had discussed this before, so you know.
I got a little bit of a head jump, yeah.
Jay Zawoski has been on vacation for like the last month. Oh, but by the way, I want to mention that Roquan Smith of the Bears is indeed going to injured reserve with a torn pectoral muscle. He will have surgery to repair it. No surprise there.
No, that's expected.
Had it not been a torn pec the first time a pectoral injury to a football player was announced, it would have been the first time it was something other Vitor and Peck because they know.
I mean,
they
the way
can see it,
the way Nagy talked about it, like right after the game, he never gives you anything on injuries, especially right after. Right. So for him to go, it's not good, and we're not. It's not.
He's telling you what it was. We knew what it was, and indeed now it's official of what it is. So, Jay Zawoski, do you care to guess who the two players on Joe Sheehan's all-decade MLB team are who are connected with the Cubs in some form or fashion?
I will guess, but I need some more information. Is this one player per position?
It's one player per the positions. There are five starting pitchers. There is a representative five-man staff, and there are two relief pitchers.
Okay. I'm going to say Aroldis Chapman.
Okay.
And Jake Arrieta.
Aroldis Chapman is correct. Jake Arrieta is not.
Well, that list is wrong then.
Jake Arrieta, well, not when you hear the names.
All deck, no, man.
No, you know.
There's a lot of hosses up there at the top of that rotation.
He had a great season, but Jake Arrieta is not even a runner-up for the pitching staff.
Nor should he be.
He is not in the top 10.
No.
All right, I think because you're asking then, the answer is not going to be obvious.
It's pretty obvious.
It is, and it's not.
It's a current Cub.
It's got to be Rizzo.
Nope.
No.
Then it's Bryant.
Nope.
I'll keep going around. It's Ian Happ.
Well,
it's Ian Happ. Nailed it. Ding, ding, ding. No, it's.
No, don't.
Just, oh, yeah. All right.
You can ask yes and no questions.
It's a current Cub.
It's a current Cub.
Is he sexy?
Not last year.
Hayward?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Now your clues are actually steering me away from what I mean, I don't know.
He is.
I love the psychology of this.
Current Cub. Bad year last year.
Yep. Very bad.
Contreras?
No.
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 This is someone obvious I'm missing here.
It is, and you're going to hate yourself
for doing
player?
It.
But
no.
It is not.
Okay. All right. All right. I know it's not Lester.
Correct.
Because you've been...
That would make MF you fun of people during a break.
Things in my damn mind.
God,
friend Strope. Of Lester's.
Pedro Strope?
Nope.
John Lackey?
Pedro is friend of Lester's.
I don't know. Just tell me.
No, ask good yes and no questions, detective.
Yeah, this is riveting radio.
Yeah,
man.
People are bored.
Tell him.
I promise you.
Pay
him.
It off.
No, it can't be. Nobody's turning away. I guarantee you that.
Pay it off.
It is Craig Kimbrell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget he's a Cub sometimes.
That's why I like the psychology, because your brain has sort of removed him. So here's the list. Yadier Molina is the catcher.
Sure.
The runner-up is Buster Posey. Miguel Cabrera is the first baseman. Joey Votto is the runner-up.
Yep.
Robinson Cano at second. Jose Altuve is the guy missing out on that. Shortstop, and it's not a really good crop of shortstops for the decade. Andrelton Simmons. Is the top shortstop.
Oh, man, you forget how good defensively he was in the middle teens there.
And the runner-up Troy Tulowitzki.
Tulo, man, you know, everybody's got the Coors Field thing, and if he could stay healthy, it'd have been a really interesting career, but that was a hell of a peak.
The third baseman is Adrian Beltre.
Of course it is.
And as much as I thought that, you know, Nolan Arenado would sneak him, it's not. The runner-up is Josh Donaldson.
Is that right?
At third base, according
to Joe Sheehan. I thought you were saying that Arenado would have been the guy.
I thought maybe runner-up over Donaldson. But
interesting.
The outfield, Mike Trout, all decade.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, what a shock.
That's amazing.
Good for him.
Good for him.
A little engine that could.
Yeah. Mike Trout, Andrew McCutchen.
Cutch.
And Mookie Betts.
Wow. Really?
Yes. And the runners-up, Giancarlo Stanton, Lorenzo Cain, and Brett Gardner.
A lot of defense in there then.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a lot of defense.
Yep, and no Bryce Harper. But Giancarlo Stanton, Lorenzo Cain, and Brett Gardner.
Let me take a run at the starters. You mind?
This is a hell of a starting pitching staff.
Let me take a run at the starters.
Go ahead.
Give me Kershaw.
Got him.
Give me Verlander.
You got him.
Give me Greinke.
Sure, that's three.
Give me Felix Hernandez.
No, funny.
Oh, come on.
I did this with my son yesterday, and he had the same reaction.
Come on.
He had the same reaction.
No Felix Hernandez on the all-decade. Joe.
Not a runner-up either. Felix Hernandez also not a runner-up.
Absolutely preposterous.
Mario Machado.
Max Scherzer.
Yep.
Verlander, Greinke, Kershaw, Scherzer.
And one of your White Sox connection, Chris Sale.
Sale.
That's your starting staff.
Yeah.
Your next five, your runners-up for starters?
Oh, he did five runners.
Five runners-up.
Okay.
Corey Kluber, Jacob DeGrom, Cole Hamels, David Price, and Madison Bumgarner.
Okay.
So that gets an okay from you? Okay.
It gets an okay.
And I mentioned, you have your Cubs.
Look, you're keeping Felix off the list. You've already cut me deep.
You have your two representative Cubs as your relief pitchers, the aforementioned Aroldis Chapman and Craig Kimbrell, and you've got another White Sox connection in the runner-up reliever.
Oh, David Robertson?
Yes, good. David Robertson, well played. Kenley Jansen and David Robertson.
Oh, Kenley. Yeah, absolutely. Boy, I was moving around to a bunch of relievers before Kenley.
And for everybody who keeps saying, John Lester,
no.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That you, anybody, that is, if you would put John Lester ahead of any of those 10 names for performance this decade, you have bad baseball thoughts.
I think Madison Bumgarner is the one guy on that runners-up list that you can probably quibble with, but the fact that he had the postseason success that he had in two consecutive, I mean, that's tough to argue with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's some pretty damn good postseason work from Madison Bumgarner.
Texters are hilarious.
No, not John Lester. John Lester's been very good. No, if you did a next five, John Lester's on there. If you had the five finalists, the five runners up, and then your next five, the guys that Joe cut off the list right away,
the CBI,
exactly, the tournament that Illinois will be playing in or has been playing in. Then you've got Lester, you've got Felix, you've got CeCe Sabathia. Those are the kind of guys. Those are at least three of those next
and
five.
And Texters, Cole Hamels did not make the team; he was a runner up. We're not counting those. But I said two Cubs. I said Cubs that actually made the actual team.
We are aware that Cole Hamels, handsome baseball man, played for the Cubs. He was a runner-up.
Yes, we are aware of that, but he's not on the team, so chill out.
Good list.
Yeah.
It's a good list. Tasty list.
Tasty, yeah. You know, that's two today. It's not as good as the drunkest cities in the United States that all happened to be in Wisconsin.
That was. I almost forgot about that list with this list. I really wish I had.
So you blacked out?
I'm just telling you, I would not have gotten to Kimbrell all day. I just completely forgot he's on the team.
And I think if you do – well, did Sheehan have one over the other, Aroldis over Kimbrell, or Kimbrell over Aroldis? Because I think a lot would tell you that Kimbrell's decade was better than Chapman's in terms of overall save numbers. Because if you're going to do a list of closers, your saves do matter, right? I mean, if you're asking to – compile that list of guys that got the job done, then the times you got the job done have to matter, what you think is saves or not, plus the strikeouts, very few walks up to the last three seasons for Craig Kimbrell. Chapman always had a few more walks, I think, and just the overall whiff rates. Kimbrell was just a little bit better.
This segment brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. At the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. So we just got the news from Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith had suffered exactly what we thought he suffered, and they pretty much told you he suffered the torn pectoral muscle. He's on IR. He will have surgery, and I guess after that, we'll find out when we can expect him back.
I love this text from the 904 from the list. Just before we started doing the list, all caps, it's John Lester. 5 minutes later, you're right. I'm an ass.
Okay.
All caps.
But
we
didn't say that. But
no.
Yeah, we implied it.
Well, he did. Yeah.
He said it. All right. We are going to break down the rest of the stuff that Matt Nagy has mentioning at his little
press
gathering today, because some of the schedule is off because it was Thursday, and now we kind of get back to a little more of a regular week. Well, it's not for us because Friday, oh boy.
Friday's the day.
Friday. We've never done this before, but it's going to be 670 The Score and 105.7 The Fan live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. We're all going to be there. All the shows from 105.7 The Fan, all the shows from 670 The Score, all broadcasting from the Brat Stop. Because why not?
Because
we can.
Because we can. You'll hear from Matt Nagy when we come back. A snippet or two about Roquan. Lawrence is coming up with transition as well. It's Burnson McKnight on The Score.
As far as injuries, 58, Roquan does have a torn pec, so he'll be on IR. So that's unfortunate for him. You know, he's really putting together a good year. But that's, you know, he'll bounce back and that's that. As far as the rest of the guys, we'll update everybody on Wednesday. The next couple of days, we'll just like I said the other day, you know, just keep these guys day by day, try to get them all back up to speed, and the guys that are hurt, try to get them ready as fast as we can.
Okay, I guess. That sucks for Roquan Smith, but he's...
A lot of guys hurt, man.
Yeah, not tipping his hand on Prince Amukamara or Akeem Hicks, so we'll have to wait on that. This segment's brought to you by Burlington Stores. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at any Burlington store to help your neighbors in need. And as a thanks, receive 10% off your purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. Thanks to Eric Edholm and Sahadev Sharma for joining us today.
Yeah.
Because it's a Monday. It wasn't a Bears Monday. So,
no, we get to kick it around a little bit today. Yep. First day of the winter meetings. Talk nice. A little baseball. Talk a lot of football. Talking to the quarterbacks. Yeah, Tom Brady.
We didn't get to the Bulls.
That's probably a good thing.
Didn't get to the Bulls.
Probably a good thing.
They have done a really nice job making sure that some of their absolutely unconscionable losses are at just the right time when no one sees them or wants to talk about them.
Jim Boylan is the biggest advocate for a 25-game NFL schedule.
Yep, perfect.
Just keep playing them, baby.
Next up, we're going to do transition with Lawrence Holmes, so don't go anywhere. Keep it here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.